The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's happening live.
Oh,
yeah. Oh my God. Are you comfy?
I am very comfortable.
Oh my God. I feel like you can move the mic if you want to like sit back more. Feel free.
Okay.
Oh my God. We look so cool.
We're like vibing in your new office.
It is such a vibe. It's not set up all the way, but you made me feel good like it was set up all
the
way.
No, it looks really set up, and I feel like I am like vibing with this naked woman right here. Or a person.
Yeah, it's a naked person, and you've got the Breathe Stretched Masturbate sign behind you.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Who Amazing. Run the world, poster, France. You know, we're just, I like to see my accolades on the wall. So I feel good about my life at all times.
That's like your, it's like your award closet. Or
exactly.
Stand.
It's like in one spot. It's the power pussy wall, I think.
Is that you over there?
Yes.
That looks like, and the person next to you looks like Florence Pugh.
Oh my God. That's so funny you say that. My best friend does look like Florence.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or however you say
it. Yeah, whatever you, yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. First of all, we need to introduce you. Besides being in the office, hi, confidants. We're in the office. I am here with Celine. Hi, you're my friend. Huh? You're a founder. You are the creator of a very cool and important app called Flowly. You're a very big deal, but you're so young and you're accomplishing so much. And we like became friends on the side and I use your app and now you're here.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm not a big deal.
Yes, she is.
But we're hoping that our app will become a big deal.
It will.
So we're working on it. But yeah, I'm the founder of Flowly and we are a mobile platform for chronic pain and anxiety management. And basically, we teach someone how to move their body from a state of fight or flight to flow state.
Like, listen, y'all, confidants, if there was a podcast ever for you to listen to, it is this one. Because you are going to learn shit in science that I'm actually in the process of learning, which is very cool. And were we connected through Ryan? How are we connected?
I think we were connected through Ryan.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we were connected through a friend. Shout out to Ryan. And then you and I were like, okay, bye. And then we just were like, let's
bye,
talk.
Ryan.
Yeah. And you and I did like a Zoom call and you explained the entire app to me. You explained like what you were doing, how you got funding from the National Institute of Health, which is a very big deal. And you told me these stories about people who also have opioid addiction.
Yep.
And like this app also helps with that. We've got some photos of the app up here if you're watching on YouTube.com/KelseyDara. But let's go through like the point of Flowly. Like, why is it so special?
Well, let me zoom back a little bit. And because we started this company because I actually grew up around pancreatic cancer patients, which I hope, you know, no one or but some, probably some people have experienced. But in its terminal stage, pancreatic cancer is extremely painful. So people close to me would actually pass away from things like morphine overdose and not even the cancer itself.
Wow.
So my parents had actually worked on pain management from a pharmacological perspective. They passed two orphan drug designations through FDA, which no one really knows what that means.
Like, what does that mean?
But essentially they pass two drugs through FDA that were targeted at pancreatic cancer pain.
Wow.
And so to say I grew up around pain management is a bit of an understatement.
Yeah.
But when I was growing up, I was like, you know, fuck my parents. Like, okay, can I say
like
that?
Like every time. Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah,
you're like a naked lady behind you.
I was like, you know, I'm not going to do med school. I'm not going to be in the medical field, which honestly my parents were fine with. They're pretty liberal. And so I ended up working as an actor in film and television growing up.
Crazy.
And then moved into working at DreamWorks, where I was developing their interactive content and development strategy. And Well, it was really fun, actually.
Yeah.
But then I realized all these cool things we were doing with VR was for like How to Train Your Dragon or Kung Fu Panda, which was really fun and exciting. But at the same time, I was thinking about, you know, is there a greater meaning to a lot of the technology that was being developed? And I was really lucky that my father, who's a chair of neuroradiology from Duke, he was looking at this technology. Yeah. And he's a genius. And he was like, you know, this has actually been used for decades for therapy.
What has?
VR.
Of VR.
Yeah. Wow. And so we started researching into it, and I brought in my two co-founders, Julian Soros and Ray Kim.
Shout out.
Yeah. And we started realizing that VR has been used since the 80s.
Holy shit.
For pain management.
How?
Yeah,
what the
I know.
In the 80s did we have?
I honestly think most people, including myself, I thought VR was invented like a couple of years ago. Yeah. You know, but no, it's been around since the 80s. So they used to have these huge contraptions in these hospitals. And the first studies is they would do, they would work with burn wound victims. Oh, wow. And so burn wound victims, when they're getting their bandages mm-hmm. changed, it's really painful. Right. And so a lot of times they would actually have to be submerged in sort of like this icy bath water to help alleviate the pain. Yeah. And so what they built was this like waterproof, gigantic monster VR contraption.
Oh my God.
So that they could use VR while they're submerged in this water bath.
Holy
and
shit.
Then feel like they were playing this game where they were shooting down snowman with these snowballs coming out of the headset. Yeah. And so this distraction element of virtual reality while being immersed in this like icy snow world environment helped alleviate their pain so much that people were like, whoa, this is something to
use. Why does no one know about this?
It's crazy. It's actually all from this researcher, Dr. Hunter Hoffman from University of Washington.
Shout out. Yeah. Older dudes.
Yeah. I met him at a conference once. I was like, oh my God, you're like a celebrity.
VR pain management.
Yeah. It's very niche. Yeah. They're like, ugh. But yeah. And so when we figured this out, we were like, holy shit, like we need to make this more accessible to people, right? Because traditionally it's been used in these clinics and you have to have these huge contraptions, super expensive. And so we actually convinced the chair of anesthesiology of UCLA at the time, Dr. Aman Mahajan.
Big time.
Yeah, to come on board. And we developed this kit and this platform essentially where we could deliver what they used to do in the clinic, but to your home.
Okay, hard pause. How old are you when you're doing this?
I think we started, let me think, I'm 25 now. So we started when I was like 22 or 23. Yeah.
So you, had you gone to traditional college?
Yeah. So I'd gone to college.
Yes.
And I studied English and film in college.
So nothing to do with VR and medicine.
No. And it's like the two most useless, majors you can have. Yeah. And so there's only one way to go, which is like to law school or entrepreneurship, which is just unemployment. And
thank you for calling it out.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, like this is, you know, I have to find something to do. And I think at that point I had gone really bored with the studio system working at DreamWorks. Mm. It was fun at first. And I actually had started in China, which was felt more like a startup office there. But in the US, it was just so much bureaucracy.
Like cog in the machine. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think at that time I was really looking to jump into something that I found more meaningful
and impactful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's why I connected with you when you were explaining to me about Flowly, of like what I'm trying to do with Swapskis, which is like a thing that you don't have to think about that helps the world, but you can still do the stuff you love, which in my case, it's like make things pretty and home decor. But it's not about Swapskis. It's about Flowly. So like when you were explaining to me that you wanted to do something that had more impact, like, you don't have a medical background. Mm-hmm. You got a really famous dad. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good clout. But like, you've never built tech that way.
Mm-mm.
You don't like study chronic pain management, and you got UCLA to allow you to create this platform.
Yeah.
How?
You know, when I think back about it, it's like a really windy, twisty journey. So I feel like every time people ask me, it sounds so tidy that it's not real.
Yeah.
But like, I think to put it in this way, it was just a lot of experimentation and then not being afraid to fail.
Ooh.
And I think that we tried so many different things. When I tell you, like the first thing that me and my two co-founders did was a film in VR called Pippa's Pan. And it was about Alzheimer's disease.
I was like,
the different like emojis.
Yeah.
Do that. But it was really exciting because we were like, oh, we're using all this new technology. We use something called light field, which I'll not even get into, but it's
expensive and hard to understand.
Yeah. And so we built this experience that we were really lucky. We were one of the youngest teams ever to get selected for Cannes Film Festival.
Bitch.
And CES in Vegas. And so it was like feeling really exciting and cool. But then I think we realized that it looks shiny to doing something for entertainment. But at the end of the day, we didn't really know where it was going. And so I think that we were really looking to see if there was something we could do with VR that could help impact people's lives. And when I realized there was this intersection with something I already cared about, which is pain management, we just kind of dove in. And let me tell you, I think I would email like 500 emails a week. Minimum.
Clearly, I'm behind on my fundraising, networking, fucking journey.
I was shameless, shameless. I would ask, you know, anybody I knew for their help. And I think the one thing that came out of me growing up as a child actor is, you know, acting's more just like getting rejected in auditions. 100%. Yeah. And so all that rejection really made me kind of like iron against it. And so I would ask everybody, and then eventually somebody will connect you to somebody.
Yep.
And then that's how we got in touch with the chair of anesthesiology at UCLA.
Wow.
And then you just need to find one champion.
Right. It's like what Lady Gaga said all around the Oscar circuit when she's like, there's just, I got a million no's, but Bradley Cooper was my one. Yes. And I'm like, we get it.
We're all Lady Gaga here.
Yeah, we're all Lady Gaga in the founder world. But like, I don't only connect with you as like a female young startup founder. I mean, you're like more advanced in your journey than I am. But the fact that you do pain management, which is something that I live with every single day. In fact, I just got a new acupuncturist 2 days ago. And then I'm going to a doctor's appointment for pain management after this. I've done pain management therapy, and you know all the shit I've tried. Neurofeedback therapy, nerve blockings, I mean, pills upon pills. Like, there's so many things, and you know my whole story, and the audience knows my whole story, but it's still hard for people to understand what it's like to be in pain all day, every day. And I'm writing my second book right now. Obviously, I've already included stuff about Flowly, and I'm gonna like interview you and blah, 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 blah. But like, the mind being so powerful and still not fully understood. Like, I remember I did UCLA Pain Management Center, and the guy told me that sometimes they'll have someone come into an emergency room with a broken spine and literally like not feel anything. Like, not because he can't feel anything because he broke his spine, but he just like doesn't even know he broke his back. And then you'll have someone who comes in and is in excruciating pain, and they can never find the cause. And it's like, that's the expansive world of pain, where we don't understand why the mind feels pain sometimes this way. It's so complicated. And to decide to like dedicate your career to something that is so fucking unknown, like, I have to wonder, like, what is Flowly doing to understand how the mind works with pain? Like, maybe you can explain like what the app is and does.
Let me double click on what you said earlier. Ooh, I love real that quick.
Double click on that. I actually that.
I heard an investor say that once. I was like, ooh.
Okay, now you've taught it to me. Perfect.
But because I think that I was reading this, and someone else was also telling me that in medical school, it's like hundreds of hours of studying. And I think pain, the section on pain is about 11 hours total. So it just tells you and emphasizes, what you're saying, which is there's so little research and dedication into the pain field. And we can get into like all the reasons why, but
patriarchy.
Period. It's just so insanely complicated that even now when we've done like case studies and clinical trials, people ask us, are you sure you want to do your second pivotal study on chronic pain? Because chronic pain is so hard to study compared to acute pain. Even just to, let's say, recruit patients is really hard to recruit for chronic pain.
I'm one.
Not because there is a lack of chronic pain patients, but because, you know, chronic pain is so different for each person. There's so many comorbidities. To convince somebody to come in and comply with any program is also quite challenging. As a spoonie, I'm sure you can imagine, like, getting out of bed, even making them go into a clinic, forget about it. So it is really, really challenging. And I think the way that we approached it was, early on, we worked with a really famous pain specialist named Dr. Forrest Tennant.
Shout out.
And he told us that, you know, pain is a biopsychosocial disease.
Break that down, sis. Mm-hmm.
Biopsychosocial disease, which means that a lot of people, when you think about pain, you think it's physical, right? It's like, oh, I injured my arm. That's pain. Mm-hmm. It is pain. Mm-hmm. But chronic pain, once it's held in your nervous system over a period of time, mm-hmm. it starts to affect you psychologically as mm-hmm. well. So like some of the top symptoms of chronic pain is anxiety, depression, stress, trouble sleeping. Mm-hmm. And then there's even a social component where a lot of people with chronic pain feel socially isolated.
Yes.
Imagine all like the bedbound babes, like can't get out of bed, or, you know, you rely a lot on online support systems, things like that now. And so I think what the trouble was with pain management is a lot of times there was a lot of different tools that were created, but they were all super fragmented.
Yes.
And so it was like one thing for like, you know, a drug for this pain, and then maybe some sort of like mindfulness for this, you know, anxiety, mm-hmm. and then maybe a forum for your, you know, community and socialization.
Yeah.
But to really approach pain, it has to be integrative, and it has to be a biopsychosocial approach.
Wow.
Right.
I feel smart. I feel very smart right now.
And I think that was a really key finding for us. And we interviewed hundreds of pain patients across a lot of different comorbidities and conditions. And we were really surprised to hear that some of the things they struggled the most with on a daily basis was even just like the anxiety of expecting a flare-up or the trouble sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it had to do with the physical pain, but not even so mm-hmm. a lot of the you know, moments of the day.
Yeah.
And so we started to break down, okay, so then what are ways to address this comprehensively? And the one thing in your body that's quite comprehensive is your nervous system.
Okay.
And so this is not new, by the way. Yeah. This is, you know, research that's been done for decades and validated, but you know, tackling the nervous system is so key for a lot of people with chronic pain, especially neuropathic pain.
Yeah.
Because if you can teach somebody to manage their nervous system better, mm-hmm. you can basically tell your body, hey, I'm not a threat right now. I'm not in danger. Let's turn off my fight or flight mode where I'm like sweating, panicking, feeling pain. And then let's put my body into rest, digest, and recovery mode, which
rest,
is your
recovery, mm-hmm. which is
parasympathetic. Yeah. And a lot of people are never taught how to do that.
Never. Not once in my entire journey of going to doctors, going to pain management systems. I think the closest I got was doing, and I think I mentioned this to you, it was an app called Ella or something. Mm-hmm. It was like a breathing. Mm-hmm. You got to complete the picture with your breath. And I was like, okay, cool. It also looked like it was from 1970, like in pic art or whatever it's called. And there is no emphasis on the relation of pain to emotion either. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And writing this second book, I'm like, it's so hard to tell someone that's in pain to say that there's anything related to like your thinking or your brain, because then it makes us feel like, well, shit, then I'm just not doing it right, or I don't care enough, or maybe I don't want mm-hmm. it bad enough, or I'm not doing it right. Like if there's a way to train myself to not feel pain, like I feel like everyone would do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right in that it feels so, number one, it feels very simple. Like I remember being like, how the fuck is this going to help me feel better? Like breathing or whatever.
Well, let me put it this way. Yeah. I'm really cognizant of, like, I never want to put out the language or the vernacular saying, oh, pain is in your head.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So it's not
it
in your
feels
head.
Like
yeah.
people tell, like when we hear the connection to the mind and pain, it sounds like, well, shit, if I'm doing something to perpetuate pain, that's telling, like giving signals to my body, like I'm the bad one. I'm wrong.
Let me put it in this way. It's not that it's in your head, but your body is not siloed. Your head is part of your body, right? It's part of your physiology. And there are ways to put your body in a state where you're able to better manage both your head and your body, right? Because it's the same body.
Exactly.
And so that way is the nervous system.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so that's where, like, I think the disconnect is that people don't even know your nervous system is related to the way that you feel pain.
Mm-hmm. And so one of the things, for example, I teach people that I'm always really surprised not enough doctors talk about is there is something called the vagus nerve.
Yes.
So the vagus nerve, which sounds a lot like vagina, I know.
But, I put it in my book.
Yeah. So the vagus nerve is your 10th cranial nerve. And it is the nerve that connects, essentially you can think about it like the modulator between your brain and your body. And what you can do is you can actually work out the vagus nerve like a muscle.
What?
So that you can better regulate the signals between the rest of your body and your mind.
What?
Because it is not two different things. It's not like it's in your head, you can control it. It's more like if you can be taught the tools to control your physiology, you can then control how you better feel even in your head, right?
How do we do this?
So we call it the top, bottom-up approach.
Okay, I like that. Sounds like me on a Friday night.
So a lot of people think about like talk therapy, CBT. Those are considered more top-down approaches. So and they're very helpful. I think they're extremely helpful.
You should be in therapy.
Yeah. but it is different because you're starting by talking to somebody or starting from their mind to then affect the rest of their body. What we do is something called bottom-up approach, where we first teach you how to control your body, manage your physiology, to then affect the rest of your body, which is your mind.
Which makes more sense. It seems like the top-down should be supplemented from bottom up approach.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of times people don't look at this bottom up approach when they really should start with it, because you know, to tell somebody who's in pain or has anxiety, hey, like, let's think about this, or let's close your eyes and focus on something else, that's super fucking hard.
Fuck off, dude. Yeah. Like, I can still feel, like, at any moment I can tap into my mind and remember and feel the pain.
Yeah.
And then there's times where I'm trying not to think about it and I'm doing something else and I can feel pain. So it's like, talk to me about that nervous system and like what Flowly physically does and with the VR too.
Yeah. So what we actually do is we do something called biofeedback training, where we collect your real time bio data, which is your heart rate variability, and your breathing. And then we show it to you in real time so that you can see how your body's doing. And then we teach you through voiceover and breathing guides how to then affect those data points.
Yeah, so you're holding a mirror up to what my body is already doing. And then you're like, oh, so now that you can see what's actually happening inside, here's how
to control it.
Yes. And what I was most fucking impressed by with Flowly is that the way you can see the inside is actually quite simple.
Yeah.
It can be done through a finger clip. It can be done over the flash of your phone. I thought was that, like, it's hard to explain, but you just have to have the app to understand.
Yeah. So, you know, historically biofeedback, you can take any type of bio data and show it to someone and teach them how to control it. So things like GSR, which is skin conductance, which is sweat.
What?
You can show someone brain waves. You can show someone, you know, body temperature, so many things. We decided on heart rate and heart rate variability because it is a really strong indication of how much you're able to manage your own nervous system.
Right.
And so essentially we teach you to bring your body into this state of relaxation and we augment that or just supplement that by putting you into this like beautiful virtual reality world.
Yes.
So the way it works is, you know, we'll send you this literal kit that includes a VR headset and a Bluetooth heart rate sensor.
Yeah.
And so you slip your phone into the headset, super easy to use, and you enter this world. So for example, Wave World,
which is
it's where you're sitting on the beach with the aurora lights above you. Oof. It's the nighttime sky. It's relaxing in of itself. But at the same time, you're looking at your heart rate graph.
Right.
And then you see a unique calibrated breathing guide that we've calibrated to your own body.
Right.
And basically, it's the breathing rate at which you're most able to increase your heart rate variability, which is to say your control of your heart rate and your nervous system. And then you follow the breathing guide and you do work through the exercise in the experience. And basically, we're teaching you how to lower your heart rate, increase your heart rate variability, pace your breathing, which sends your body into activating the parasympathetic system, your rest and recovery mode.
Bitch, you sound like a doctor. Like, seriously, all that shit you just said, I'm like, I understand it because I've been using Flowly.
Yeah.
But you have a way of talking about it that just seems so sure. Like, you...
Without going to
med school. I mean, I'm sure you've had support from like your dad and, you know, different doctors you've met and stuff. But it's just so impressive to find someone who has like the fact that it's only been 4 years for you and you have this much to show for it is like a really big fucking deal.
I think a lot of it though is that other pain patients and Spoonies taught me. And you know, I learned a lot from being around doctors. I learned all the like technical vernacular. Right. I went to all the conferences. We work with so many of the best specialists. But then I think really understanding how to translate that was working in the clinic.
Yeah.
So we actually spent months in the clinic, me and my co-founders, administering this ourselves to patients in our case studies. And I would just, we would ask them so many questions. We're like, you know, how does it feel? You know, where in your body are you? Do you feel like you're modulating your pain? Like all these different questions. And they taught us the way to speak and the way to convey what we're doing. Because we would ask them, okay, what is this experience for you? And then they would give me the script.
Which is like so ass backwards from how society treats us. It's like someone making something that then they administer to like a large group of people.
Yeah.
I mean, which is where the opioid crisis came from.
Yep.
I'd love to talk a little bit about that and your experience with Flo Lee and that, because I think, you know, growing up in Florida, I mentioned I watched that happen and kill people, ruin families, completely destroy careers. Like it's something I never touched, even when I've gone through the worst of my pain. One, because they don't work against neuropathic pain, but two, because I just saw how the crisis. I saw the wave, and I feel very lucky I never got involved. But to hear that there's something that even could like be more accessible and helpful to people, like I want to shout that from the rooftops.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So it's not, the opioid crisis is not something I thought of when we first started, but it was kind of like serendipitous, the timing of it. When we started case studies very early on, one of our doctor champions who let us conduct the studies at his clinics, we started working with a population called arachnoiditis patients.
What? That sounds like a spider.
I know. Arachnoiditis, it's a very severe type of chronic pain. And most of these patients were on 15 plus years of opioid use, on, you know, insane amount of usage on a daily basis. And through them, there's a few things I learned. One was that, A, I never want to go and speak out against opioid usage by itself, because for a lot of people, it is necessary. Yes. It is helpful.
Yeah.
So we always say, take it at your own pace and whatever works for your body.
Right.
But then I think we also saw the flip side, which is when we talk to a lot of patients, even to some of them who have become dependent on their medication, a lot of them still want to wean off of it because, or at least some portion of it, because there is so much negative side effect that come with it.
Right.
So a lot of them can't drive.
The weather is getting warmer, so it is time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now that I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from 30 doll hairs, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
I can confirm this. I'm actually wearing Quince pants right now.
You are.
They are so, they're loose, they're breezy. These babies have a button, a fly, drawstring, and elastic in the band. So I can like, I can dress them up, I can dress them down.
Yes.
They're the perfect pant for summer, and I'm really comfortable as hell in them.
Honestly, I am wearing the Quince 14 karat gold earring loop right now.
Oh my God.
I know. I think it's so cute. It does not tarnish. It is so comfy, and I have sensitive ears, so I'm really loving this for my body. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Kelsey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Kelsey to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Kelsey.
Confidants, sober girlies, are you looking to cut back or cut out alcohol this year? Come on, join me and Zach on our sober journeys. Recess Zero Proof craft mocktails are the perfect alcohol replacement. We've recreated the cocktails you know and love, like a lime margarita and a grapefruit paloma, so you can enjoy the flavors and feelings of those cocktails without the booze. That's right, zero proof, zero compromise. Listeners can get 15% off the Recess mocktail sampler at takearecess.com/Kelsey. Each can is lightly sparkling mocktail infused with functional ingredients like so many stress-balancing adaptogens made with real fruit and only 25 calories or less. It's a guilt-free way to unwind. Whether you're relaxing after work or hanging out with friends, make Recess Mocktails your drink between drinks or, like me, your forever mocktail. I am so obsessed with the ginger lime mule and also the grapefruit paloma. For spring, it's my favorite go-to weekend drink. Get 15% off Recess Mocktails now at takearecess.com/Kelsey so you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences.
Anymore, or they have irritable bowel syndrome, to say the least, and all these other side effects. And so when we started doing case studies, we saw that actually using our device or Flowly, we could actually help somebody reduce their opioid usage.
Was that just like a total like, oh my God, what the fuck moment? Like when you're not there to do that and it does something?
Yeah, well, it was something that we wanted. It was one of the endpoints of our studies, which is endpoints being like results we were looking for, but because we wanted a way that was quote unquote more objective across people that we could look at, you know, what is this actually reducing for them. And but we certainly didn't expect this to become one of our primary endpoints because we didn't realize that we could help so much.
Right.
And I think a lot of it was just basically providing an alternative that people could use instead of reaching for their pill that day.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so a lot of times the way people would actually wean off of their opioids wasn't like we were like, oh, okay, you know, stop taking your medication.
Right.
It was very gradual. So we'd send them home with this kit. They would use that home. And then they'd find like, oh, I feel kind of good for like the next 2 hours. So I'll just push my next dose for one more hour or 1 more hour.
Yes.
And then a few hours of pushing, that's almost like one whole dosage that you've taken out of that day.
Wow.
And then it just continues.
And you were like, oh, shit, we've discovered something that makes this even more important for people to like know and hear about. And so we had talked about, too, how you got funding from big, important government place. And tell me what that journey's been like now that you have the app, you have it out. Like, how are you collecting data? How are you moving this forward? Like, how are we, what's happening with the company? Sweet confidants, before I go any further, you know, I have a lot of stuff going on in my life right now. I mean, we are dealing with a robbery that just happened. We are moving on a very stressful timeline. I'm 2 years sober. My birthday is coming up. I'm turning 31. Oh my God, I'm 21. Wishful thinking. Anyways, guys, life could be just like falling and crumbling apart, but it's not. You want to know why? Because I am using BetterHelp, baby. That's right. I am going to therapy every week. And best of all, you can be joining me, honey. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. It is available for clients worldwide, and they have licensed professionals who deal with issues like depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anger, family conflicts, LGBT matters, happy pride, grief, and self-esteem. Sorry, I'm losing my voice. Anything you share is confidential, avi, VIP, super low down, no one's gonna know, and it's convenient, professional, and most importantly, affordable, because y'all know I believe that therapy should be a right, not a privilege. So I want you to start living your happier life today. As a listener, you're going to get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/CI. Join over 1 million people, including me, taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/CI. By the way, did you know that so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states? Ha!
It was an insane journey actually working with the NIH. So we were super lucky. We received a $1.2 million grant from...
Let's go. Money, cha-ching, cha-ching.
It's all going for trials, though.
You're like, got none of it.
Yeah. It sounds nice, but it's all going for trials, which is good. And it's by the National Institutes of Health and National Institute of Drug Abuse. Mm. So we're actually considered through these trials as an opioid-sparing device for pain management.
Wow.
And then, of course, we saw, you know, in the midst of trials, how much it also helped with anxiety, helped with people who had trouble sleeping. So that's a lot of what people use it for today.
Right.
But we took it through case studies. We actually are finishing up our phase one controlled clinical trials, which means
sounds like some sort of government experiment.
Yeah. It's basically a big trial, but you break it up into two phases. Mm-hmm. So a smaller phase and then a larger phase. And those are being conducted at University of Pittsburgh Medical Center and then researched at USC.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And then we released, however, at the end of last year, a direct-to-consumer version.
Right.
And I always say this with the caveat that we are working on getting this covered and reimbursed. But if anybody has experience with that process and the healthcare system,
it
is a very long process.
Yeah.
But we are working on it because our eventual goal is to make this as accessible as possible.
Right.
So what we can control right now, though, is the ease of use and it be able to use at home.
Right.
So we...
Which is huge. Mm-hmm. Like making that like number one period and sentence is like the fact that you can use that at home.
Yeah.
Is going to make more people use it and want to try it.
Yeah. A lot of the reason we did that is because a lot of our pain patients was like, I'm getting it. Yeah. she was like, I need to do it like in my literal bed.
Literally. Yeah. That's when I do it is before I go to sleep.
That's how most people do it. Yeah. And so... we released it and now it's a subscription. We're on the Apple App Store as Flowly Relaxation Training. And then we're hoping to release Android before the end of the year as well. And so with every subscription, we send you that kit to get started. The kit itself is actually more expensive than the subscription cost, but we're trying to... I think our goal right now is just to get it out there and to make it as easy to use as possible. Yeah.
So when this is like... You're right in the phase of, can you announce your exciting news or no about the thing you are involved with currently?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we actually just, we were accepted and just joined the Y Combinator. Which I feel like in Silicon Valley, everyone's like, whoa.
That's a big deal for like anyone that doesn't know the tech world. Getting into Y Combinator is like, I'm trying to think of like, what's the entertainment version of that? Like,
I don't know.
Getting a feature film that's directed by Steven Spielberg.
It's... Maybe not that big.
But no, because then like your career is different. Like
it's
everything is different after you do Y Combinator.
We were really excited. Yeah, Y Combinator is basically a tech accelerator. Mm-hmm. I think the acceptance rate each year is it's about 1% or less. Yeah, they have 16,000+ applications a year, and so we were really lucky to get in, and we were one of the few digital health companies to get in, because usually it's more like consumer, pure consumer social or like SaaS companies.
Marketplace, in my case.
Marketplace, Swapskis, yeah. And so we just joined, and we're about like a third of the way through the program.
And it's intense.
It's intense. Let me tell you, I use Flowly every night now.
Yes, you become your own patient. I love that.
I seriously have. And but it's been really exciting. So we're just trying to get this out there and trying to educate more people also about alternative tools.
Right. Like why – this might be a question you can't answer, but in my head I'm like, why aren't we going to every single hospital or like pain management clinic and knocking on their door and being like, buy these and use them with your people?
Well, I'll tell you why.
That's simple, right?
I'll tell you why, because the economics of it don't work out for a lot of these clinics, right? Because they're looking for something that's covered that they can bill for. So there's a lot of nuance to the system. But what I will tell you is that most of the people who use us today hear about us from their therapist or their doctors.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And it's because very early on we had such amazing institutions partnering with us that we have some of the best pain doctors working with us and they recommend it. We're now working with a lot of therapist offices and clinics where we get the device actually into the clinic so that the doctor or practitioner can have one of their clients or patients try it out
while you're there.
Out with it there, and we're giving it to them for free because we just want people to learn about it. And so we're actively looking to work with more therapists, more practitioners. We're always open
to
people reaching out.
Ask your doctor about it, Spoonies. Mm-hmm. Make them reach out. How do they like reach out to you to use it? Like if they're an institution.
Oh, if they're an institution, they just email me.
Okay.
Yeah. And
we'll put that somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Email me. Our website has our contact information. A lot of a lot of therapists or practitioners, they'll hear from sometimes their patients even. Yeah. And then they'll just like message us on the website saying, hey, I heard about this from one of my patients. Can I try it out?
That's And then that's probably like the biggest compliment, right? Is when it a is. Doctor is mm-hmm. that's like when a therapist tells me they used something in my book, I'm like,
yeah,
jaw drop, Mike, like just what? It's the yeah. biggest fucking compliment in the world. I mean, like everything you just talked about, like I said, this is such a complex system and platform and world you're getting into. I mean, you're talking insurance, you're talking big pharma, mm-hmm. you're talking like you're doing something that is literally like big pharma's biggest fear, which mm-hmm. is like giving people the agency to make themselves heal and do it in a way that is not pharmacological.
Yeah.
Are you scared of big pharma coming in like just ruining everything and like setting your like office on fire or something? I don't even want to put that in the universe, but that's what I think. Like, yeah, that's how petty they
Kelsey.
Are.
Thanks, Kelsey. Yeah.
Can't you just see them doing some like sneaky yeah. thing? Like, they're so petty.
I think what we've been thinking about is how to align their interest with ours, mm-hmm. because, you know, we are such a small company and yeah. we are such a young company that it's like virtually impossible to go against. I mean, I guess right. there's like the David
They're
and Goliath
not, like, looking at
yeah
ya.
Story, but I think that what early on we got approached by a lot of pharma companies, some in the opioid space, some not, yeah. Because I think that especially with regulation, most of them don't really have other choices. Mm. So there are pharmacological approaches that they can take, but then I think a lot of times they also want to be invested in the right stakeholders mm. and the right companies that could push the space forward.
Right.
Right. And so I think that our goal is to partner with a lot of larger pharma companies. Mostly the ones I'm thinking of aren't necessarily in the opioid space, but mm-hmm. to do trials with them even right. and programs with them.
They're like, hey, let's partner. This makes you look good.
Yeah, because it's yeah, true. And it also does. They have the resources.
Right.
And then we can provide the technology. Exactly.
Yeah. So and it's so, like, you need me, I need you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking too, like the way in which like we've got some images up here, you can see how like modern and clean and like beautiful aesthetic it feels. Like it feels like the perfect neutrality of young people cuteness, but also someone at any age could understand mm-hmm. this and do it, which I think is super important. And it makes me feel like when I think of the program and I think of the app, it makes me feel very like I said, like anti-pharma, like anti, sorry, I don't want to say anti-pharma, that's not the words, but like in my head, I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah, it's you.
This
yeah.
feels like a program that reminds me of like Eastern medicine. Mm. Like it taps into the practice of mindfulness, mm-hmm. it taps into the like looking inward, like you said, the bottom out approach.
Bottom which, up.
Like,
yeah.
Bottom up. I'm like out, which like in America, I think we think of like, oh, that person needs to go to therapy or whatever. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, I went to pain management therapy once. It was not good. I think you need to find a new person. But it does remind me of like a practice that is different from what America preaches in the healthcare system. Like mm-hmm. it feels a bit disruptive mm-hmm. in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you think anything with your background and like the way your family brought you up yeah. and taught you things has anything to do with kind of how you created this?
For sure. For sure. I think that, so I mentioned my father's a doctor, mm-hmm. right? So my family's Chinese and mm-hmm. I actually grew up in Taiwan, between Taiwan and Shanghai, and Eastern medicine was a huge part of me growing up.
Wow.
Now there's a lot of parts of it that, you know, I think need to be studied and questioned, but there's a lot of it that is also just so much yeah. data backing it up and so much science. Mm-hmm. And I think our approach has always been to be comprehensive about it. Mm. We're the type of family where we actually try to avoid taking medication as much as possible.
Yeah. Well, you look amazing, bitch. Her skin is glowing. You guys should see this.
Oh, that's, you should ask my mom about her bone broth.
Oh, I would yeah. like some. I will come pick yeah. it up.
so we do everything, right? Yeah. Like we do, my mom comes from a very Buddhist family. So we grew up meditating.
Mm.
But we also, you know about all the new drug advances right. and like biotech advancements and like cell anti-aging, all the et ceteras. Right. And so I think that there is a middle ground that everybody can meet right. and it's unique to each person's experience. But I think yeah. when we were approaching Flowly, a lot of it was around the design. Because you imagine, you talked about that app you tried, right? It looks like it's from like the 80s
yes,
or whatever.
It was awful.
Oh my God. I've seen so many yeah, of those apps. Know. Yeah. And even like traditional biofeedback, the like
it's so
video games.
It's also like yeah. really dudish mm-hmm. and very basic.
It's a lot of the design's terrible.
Yeah, they're like, drive this car. I'm like, if I want to do that, I'd go to Dave & Buster's.
Yeah.
You know?
So let me tell you, actually, we very early on met the head of NIDA, which is National Institute of Drug Abuse. Her name is Laura Valkov. And she, Nora told us that one of the reasons she was so excited to meet us is because she was really shocked and pleasantly surprised that I came from DreamWorks and that my co-founder, yeah, and my co-founder is like one of the top 3D scenic designers. She actually worked on Broadway. Yeah. And she was, and then my other co-founder, Julian, he's an electrical engineer. He went to Yale with me and then he worked at Hyperloop One.
Jesus.
Yeah. And so she was like, whoa, this is a very untraditional team.
Yes.
And she was really excited because she was saying that in a lot of healthcare products, you actually need designers and you need people with different and younger perspectives to come in.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, people have to use it.
Yes.
And they have to want to use it.
You already answered my question. I was going to be like, how does your age like play into this?
Yeah.
And you just answered it. It's like they actually need to listen to
us. They have, you know, it's, and actually when I first started researching chronic pain deeply, I was really surprised majority women and so many in their 20s to 30s, so young. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait, it's like a lot like me, you know? And so I was like, wait, I can be the able-bodied person that, you know, puts out work to help with this population.
Right.
And that's the speaking for the rest of my team who like does all the work, you know? And they like, we've spent so much time designing this. Yeah. And making sure everything from like the color palette to the way you press the buttons is accessible and helpful. And we're still working on it. Like we're adding in like more closed captioning so that we can be there for people that have hard of hearing or hard of seeing, things like that. But it's certainly where we're starting from.
Yeah. Well, like I said, like the fact that you have this much in such a, like to me, short amount of time. Like you hear about people starting companies and it's like, I've been doing this for 8 years, 10 years. It's like, if you're already this fucking far, like with just more money and research and like word of mouth, it sounds like, you know, this could be just something that everyone has on their phone, kind of like the way people really adopted like meditation apps and like Calm and, you know, but this is so different. And I think that VR element, the design, it really makes this so unique. Like what is, well, I have two questions before I let you go. Where do you see this going? Like what in 5 years, what's like the dream?
I think the dream is really, I was joking about this with my co-founder. I was like, I can't wait for the day someone just comes up to me and be like, I use Flowly, like that I completely don't know. So that's actually happened to us once. We were really excited. Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, we were really excited. But I think it's to get this into the hands of more people and to really create a platform that's there for people with chronic illness and chronic conditions. Because I think this is really helpful for, I mean, a lot of people now use it just for like sleep or anxiety or stress management. But we really, this is a more comprehensive tool than like a meditation app. It takes, you do have to spend 10 to 15 minutes a day in VR doing it. It's a commitment.
I was just going to ask.
Yeah.
Like how long till we see results?
Yeah. It's a commitment. But I think the effect is that people tell us it's like the 10 to 15 minutes a day, they don't even think about their pain, their anxiety, their trouble sleeping. And then at the same time, they're learning skills they can use outside of it.
Exactly.
So and that's my goal. My goal is that you don't need to use this like every hour. I want you to learn the skills so that you can use it outside of Flowly and then come back and maintain.
Yes. I was going to say like, and this could be a whole tangent, a completely different episode, but especially people with chronic pain and chronic illness, the importance of routine that gives you freedom. And like you said, this is a commitment, but I don't want that to scare people away because it just takes repetition and active, like making something attractive to implement it into your routine. Like there's this whole thing about atomic habits, blah, blah, blah. But like, that's what this, I could imagine being for so many people the same way. Like people wake up, they go for a run, they do this, blah, blah, blah. Okay, my last question. Where does the name Flowly come from?
Oh yeah. So
it's so good.
We went through a lot. The original name of the company, I'll just share this real quick. It's actually still the name of our company. It's just that it's not the name of our product. Yeah. It's Tamade.
Ooh.
And Tamade means fuck in Chinese.
I
Love that.
Have I not told you this before?
No. Oh, okay. This seems like right up my alley.
Yeah, it's like a literal cuss word. And hilarious. You know, honestly, it was just that I thought it was a hilarious thing to name a company. But yeah, it's also because early on we read studies that when you cuss or curse, it helps your pain.
Sure does.
Yeah. And so we were like, oh, that's funny.
That's why you scream when you like stub your toe, when you're like, fuck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your body's like, get it out.
Yeah. And so, and in college, I was actually named in one of our like newspaper, like worst potty mouth. And so
girl after my own heart.
Yeah. Classic. So it was a classic company name for me. But later on, we were like, okay, maybe like to get on like, you know, other people's websites and publications, yeah, maybe not have fuck like as your name. And so,
maybe not have fuck as your name is a great tagline.
And so we were thinking about what we really embodied. And one of the things that a biofeedback specialist had told us is biofeedback, which is what we do, is one of the fastest and most efficient ways to put your mind and your body into flow state.
Knew it. Mm-hmm. I knew it.
And flow state is that physical and mental state where you're basically in the zone, where you feel relaxed, you feel focused, and not only are you relaxed, but you're also generating dopamine, which is...
Ooh, we need that.
Yeah, which is really a happy, relaxed, focused state. And so we were like, oh, basically what we're doing is we're teaching people to move into flow state. Mm. And we actually have a flow score in our app so that you can actually see how long you're in flow each session and how high that flow was, things like that. So we're like, what's like flow? And we just played around with the name like Flow Lee.
I love that. Because it could be like an adjective or like a verb.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And then we actually have a little mascot now. They're super cute. Their name is Ebby because it's ebb and flow. Yes! Yeah.
I remember you talking about this. I think you had texted me and I said something that needed to sound like squishy.
Yeah, squishy. Yeah, 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 you told me. So we're like Ebby.
I love Ebby. Yeah. That's so cute. Mm-hmm. What is it?
Ebby is like a little blue character. Perfect. I have to show you.
You do have to show me.
They're super cute. And then people have been like, oh, we have a lot of members that say, can you please make like a
Ebby world or Ebby something?
Or
oh,
like a
plushie?
Yeah, like a plushie or a stress doll or like something like that. A stress ball even.
Yes,
yeah.
I want an Ebby. I want, because that could also just be a cute little reminder of something that like I take with me on vacation, or I throw it in my like suitcase, or it sits on my desk and it's just that little cute reminder like, hey Ebby,
this is Ebby,
let me see. Stop.
Yeah, it still has the design thing on it, but
okay, it looks like, what was that movie where the big blow up doll?
Oh, a lot of people say it reminds them of Inside Out. No, Hero, Big Hero 6. Yeah,
it looks like the cuter, littler version of Big Hero 6. Yeah, I love them.
And so when Ebby breathes, their heart like comes in and out, like your heart rate. Yeah.
Okay, see, y'all, just fucking try this shit. Like, okay, how do we wrap up here? How do we tell people, especially Spoonies, like how to find you guys, how to find you, how to like use Flowly, like give us the wrap up, give us the pitch.
I would say go to our website, www.flowly.world. And then you can message us there, or you can just email contact@flowly.world and ask us any questions. We have a health coach actually that you get access to.
That's right.
Where you can call and text them with questions, help setting up. And that's been, I think a lot of people say that's one of their favorite parts because it's like hand holding you through the process. Yes. So don't hesitate to reach out. We're a small team. Sometimes I pick up the customer calls. So reach out to us. We look forward to helping you.
And I know that Zach from the Try Guys, I introduced you guys, and Zach loved it so much, he's making a video about it. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned for that. I think you guys are just going to like hear more and more about Flowly in this space, hopefully. And you guys should help spread the word. Talk to your doctors about it. Talk to your therapist about it. Go to your pain people. Like, I know we have a lot of Spoonies that listen to this podcast, and all the chronic pain episodes, or anytime we're talking about pain, does really well. And I was thinking, like, the whole time we've been talking, I'm like, what am I going to title this? Because it's so complex.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way to put, like, sciencey words into this without, like, making people be like, I don't know what she's talking about. But maybe I'll ask Instagram, like, what's the best way to title
this? Yeah, you should ask. And I was going to say, you know, if people have comments or feedback about the way we talk about Flowly in a short way, then a way that you understand better, let me know, because we're still learning about the best way to talk about it. And we actually just started, I want to shout out our referral program.
Shout out.
Because we're trying to keep it really in our community. So like your family and friends. So if you refer Flowly, you actually get $25 Amazon gift card.
What?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, we are like, I was like, this is a good referral program.
Yeah, no shit. Like, referral programs don't be like that out there. That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
And then your family and friends get $25 off their one of their subscription.
That's amazing. You, it really seems like you've built a system where you care about the clients or the patients or whatever you want to call us, our float.
We call you members.
Members, yeah.
Because we really feel like people are building it with us. Like, we have a community in the app and people literally post comments like, can you add this? Or, like, I'd like I've to see this.
In there a little bit sometimes.
You have.
I have.
Seen it.
I've been like, I'd put my little 2 cents in there.
But and so, yeah, we really.
I'm there. Come hang out.
We're really grateful for everyone.
Yeah. Well, I think I know it means a lot to people out there like me that you guys are so focused on the people first. Mm-hmm. And like, I think that shows in the app. And I'm really excited. And I'm glad we're friends. And I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for being here, Celine. And don't forget to go check out all the links below because all of her shit will be tagged. Don't forget to rate this podcast 5 stars. If it's not 5 stars, don't rate it at all because I'm very sensitive. Speaking of being sensitive, the merch is out. You can get that below. I'm wearing the I Am Sensitive silver necklace today. Be cute.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even see.
Did I not get you these?
These are really cute.
I didn't send you these?
No.
I sent you the book, right?
Yeah, I got the. I read the book. Yeah,
I think
that's
I have some
so
extra somewhere. I'll
find
it.
It's good.
But it's cute, right? Tell people to buy it. Buy it. It's cute. Thank you.
The whole vibe is cute. Yeah.
And thanks for coming over. This was really exciting to have a first podcast episode in the studio.
Yeah.
Was it comfy? Do you have feedback?
No, it was comfortable. I like it. I like this like light also.
You, dude, the whole time I was like, she looks so dope right now with the lights.
I'm like, it's the glow.
It's the sunset lamp from Instagram.
I thought about getting it.
That one, we'll chat offline about it because that one's very tiny and it didn't give, like, but you look, it's really good for your lighting.
Okay, good.
I think
as long as it looks, makes me look good.
As long as you're hot. And I think I need to figure out a way to attach the mic so that we can like lay back more.
Yeah.
I
but
don't know.
It's good. It's so comfortable.
We're starting out, you guys. We're in flow. Okay. Bye, confidant. See you next week.